Good morning. We are going to call this meeting of the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency Regional Plan Implementation Committee to order. The date is Wednesday, October 27th, 2021. It's 9:30 a.m. and just want everybody to know this meeting is being recorded. And our first item on the agenda is the roll call. Maria, would you call the roll, please?
Ms. Alding.
Here.
Mr. Bruce?
Here.
Mr. Friedrich?
Here.
Ms. Gustafson?
Here.
Mr. Lawrence? Mr. Yates?
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Maria. So now it's time for me to kind of review the meeting rules of the day. To observe and participate in the meeting, go to www.trpa.gov, select October 27th, 2021 Governing Board meeting on the calendar, and follow the links to the webinar. Members of the public can find all the meeting materials there as well. In order to participate in this Regional Plan Implementation Committee meeting, with your comments, please utilize the hand-raising function in the GoToWebinar platform at the appropriate agenda item. With your hand raised, you will be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the Regional Plan Implementation Committee. If you have contacted the TRPA for reasonable accommodation and have received a unique PIN for dial-in, please make sure you enter that PIN so that you may be identified and unmuted by TRPA staff. If you are using GoToWebinar's Instant Join web app, please make sure it is opened in the Google Chrome browser and that you allow access to your microphone in order to be unmuted. If you're joining via the call-in number posted on our website, please note this is a listen-only option. If you wish to address the Regional Plan Implementation Committee, you will need to go to log in via the GoToWebinar on your computer, tablet, or smartphone, or dial your unique PIN. To committee members, if you wish to speak, please alert me via the chat function. If you are online or speak up, if you are calling in, please set your chat box now to message panelists and organizers to ensure that I see your message. Remote board members may only use the chat function to indicate desire to speak. This function must not be used to have sidebar conversations. Please remember to mute your mic unless speaking to cut down on background noise. Finally, I would like to have all remote members turn on their cameras as we now have sufficient capacity of our platform to accommodate everyone. So the next item is the approval of the agenda. John Hester, is there any changes in the agenda?
Mr. Chairman, there are no changes.
Thank you. We'll deem the agenda approved as posted. And now we have a set of minutes from our July 29th, 2021 hearing, which can be found at page 55 of our packet. Do any members of the committee want to make a change or additions or corrections to the minutes?
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the minutes of the TRPA Regional Plan Implementation Committee of July 29th, 2021 as presented.
Thank you, Shelley. All right. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? So it's deemed approved. So the next item is the briefing on of Chapter 65 of the Code of Ordinances for our mobility mitigation fee update. And that is item number 3 on your agenda, and the item is covered at page 305 of our packet. And this is really a final action of completing our work on our regional transportation plan and our approval of a vehicle miles traveled threshold. And So this is a really a briefing that staff has given us on how they have how they're proposing the fee, how they established a proposed fee, and then we will either as a committee have questions and ask for some further discussion on this matter. But this thing will eventually return back to RPIC for action as far as approval of the recommendation on approval of the code changes in November, and then go on to the operations committee also, and then on to the governing board in December. So I believe Melanie Sloan is going to make the presentation to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning, committee members. Melanie Sloan, transportation planner with TRPA, as the chair described, here to talk to you about the mobility mitigation fee update. Next slide, please. As the chair stated, back in April, the governing board adopted a new transportation sustainable communities threshold standard for the region. Also, they adopted the 2020 Regional Transportation Plan, or RTP, and approved an updated project impact assessment process to implement the new threshold standard at the project level by evaluating a development's impact of transportation using vehicle miles traveled. And as the chair laid out, all of that work leads to today, because what remains is the need to update the mobility mitigation fee program. Before I go into the next slide, I just want to be clear. The mobility mitigation fee program is the replacement for the air quality mitigation fee. Next slide. And so let's talk a little bit more for that needed update to the mobility mitigation fee. First, the air quality mitigation fee, that was based on trips. And as I just described, we are looking at the impact using vehicle miles traveled. So updating the fee program will align it with the updated project impact assessment process and use of vehicle miles traveled. That 2020 regional transportation plan that was adopted by the board in April has a new project list. And so the fee should align with and reference that constrained project list. That project impact assessment process update was to support attainment of the new threshold standard by implementing it at the project level, and the mobility mitigation fee update will further that. Lastly, the air quality mitigation fee actually had not been updated for inflation since 2006, so there's lost purchasing power to be regained through updating the mobility mitigation fee. Next slide, please. To understand and get to a final recommended fee, we have to start by first identifying the VMT mitigating project costs from the 2020 Regional Transportation Plan. And so I'm just going to take this slide in a couple of moments to walk through a few steps that I applied to that constrained to the project list from the RTP. So first, I looked only at the constrained project list from the RTP. The RTP includes quite a lot of projects, including some on the unconstrained list, like the waterborne ferry. So to make sure we're looking at foreseeably implemented VMT mitigating projects, the focus was on those within the constrained project list. I only looked at projects that reduced vehicle miles traveled, VMT. And that's because the RTP has quite a lot of important projects. Example here, Round Hill Pines Resort intersection improvements, a much needed project. It's a vehicular safety improvement project at the entrance to the resort on US 50 on the East Shore. And it's, but the thing is, it doesn't reduce vehicle miles traveled. So that and projects like it were not included in the VMT reducing project costs. Now, projects that reduce VMT may have non-VMT reducing elements. I use Apache Avenue from El Dorado County as an example. It's providing wonderful safe routes to school, bike and pedestrian improvements, but it's also doing important stormwater improvements. And while we support all of those, when we look at VMT reducing project costs, I took out any of those non-VMT cost elements like the stormwater in this case. And then lastly, If a project had any funding applied towards it, I took the net project cost to make sure we're not double counting. An example here, Kale Complete Street Project has had quite a bit of planning and a bit of design done, some funding applied to the project to that end. And so I took the net costs in this type of situation. So next slide. As a result, I have a BMT reducing project cost estimated at $55 million. So the mobility mitigation fee, it reflects the cost of mitigating increased BMT from added development. And so to do to calculate the fee rate, I used a three-step process, starting with the $55 million of BMT reducing projects. And then I calculated added development's share of VMT mitigating project costs. That's about 6.8%, and divided and multiplied that to identify new development's share of project costs at $37 million. Now, from there, the $37 million was divided by the proportion of VMT in 2045 from added development. And then some refinements to make sure the recommended fee really integrates the updated project impact assessment process. For example, recognizing location of development on VMT calculation and the use of full occupancy VMT rates for projects like residential and tourist accommodation units. That's assuming the greatest potential impact that a project would have to transportation. And then also considering and refining for the historic approach to how we've calculated fees, which apportions based on whether the land use generates or attracts trips and associated VMT. So the calculations and the refinements result in a recommended fee rate of $218 per VMT. Next slide.
Melanie, could I just interrupt you? I'm sorry to do this, but I noticed that on page 306, and our staff report, just so the members are up to speed, that it's not 550 million, it's 55 million.
Was there a typo in the staff report?
So yeah, on the totals, I guess that's one of the reasons I was trying to figure that one out. And then, so it's 55 million, in the first table on 306 and then also in the second table. And I don't know whether that also carried over on the white paper as well. Okay. Maybe not. No, it did. It carried that over on the white paper too.
Okay. So, my apologies, committee members, for the typo, and thank you, Chair, for pointing that out.
That just have to be revised as we move forward. Thanks.
Okay. I think it actually is 55 million. Excuse me, 550 million as the big. That should be 550 there on the slide, because 6.8% of that is 37 million. So I think we're just missing a zero on the slide to match it up with the white paper and what's in the staff report.
Okay. Thank you, John, for the clarification.
Bill, does that make sense to you?
No, that does make sense, because 6.8% of 550 makes, yeah, that would be the 37 million. I was struggling between this. So yeah, I'm sorry. I may have added more confusion, but thanks, John, for clarifying that.
No, it's definitely, as we walk through the calculations, it's important the numbers matter. And thank you, Little Angel, for inserting that zero on this slide. Okay, next slide, please. So the two tables here show a typical residential and a typical tourist accommodation unit, and calculates fees using the recommended fee rate in various areas within Tahoe, and compares that to the air quality mitigation fee, and that air quality mitigation fee had it been adjusted for inflation. And what you'll take away, I'm sure, is that fees increase marginally for some and significantly for other project types. It's because of inflation, those overall costs of the RTP projects we were just talking about, as well as location. And that last piece is really important because the project impact assessment process recognizes and encourages projects located in low VMT areas, and such as our town centers. And it also recognizes and encourages VMT reducing strategies, such as project design or mitigations or jurisdiction VMT credit programs. And each of those could be applied to the project to further reduce the project's VMT effect. And as those VMT reductions happen, so would the reduction, they'd be reflected in lower fee amounts. Now, a quick analysis of projected single family residential development by location finds about an estimated 1/4 would be within low VMT generating areas in the region, about a half in average VMT generating areas, and the remainder are anticipated to be in the higher VMT areas. But it's worth noting that the project impact assessment process and the mobility mitigation fee could influence these projections by encouraging development from higher VMT areas into lower VMT areas. Next slide, please. Included in the recommendation are a discussion of fees for affordable, moderate, and achievable, or sometimes referred to as workforce housing. And I just want to take a moment to recognize that this type of development is very needed in the region, and we have policies and programs that's encouraging this type of development. I also understand that the fee rate may prevent this type of development. And so staff did explore options to reduce or waive fees for this type of land use, but the lack of funding to backfill any reduced or waived fees kept a recommendation for doing so from going forward at this time. Instead, staff recommends deferring to the Tahoe Living Housing Initiative process. They've identified evaluating mitigation fees as an action item in the long-term phase. And so that's what staff defers to. Next slide, please. And the chair set forth some of the steps, but I just want to summarize here with you as well. We seek your guidance today on the process and recommendations in the packet. And we'll take your guidance and finalize the recommendation for the mobility mitigation fee update, return to you in November, as well as the Operations and Governance Committee to seek recommendation to the Governing Board. We'll do the same with the Advisory Planning Commission at their December meeting, and then bring the item to the Governing Board at their December meeting requesting action. And that last date is really just to reflect that any action would take effect at the next Governing Board meeting after action. Next slide. And so that concludes my presentation. I turn it back to you, Mr. Chair, for question and answer.
Thank you very much, Melanie. And I really appreciate the way the staff report was put together, especially including the updated policy paper. That was very helpful. Even though I kind of got confused between the $55 million on your slide and the $550 million, but I finally got my act together to realize why 6.8% only makes $37 million. So any of my colleagues have questions, I will check the chat, and I don't see any. Cindy, go ahead.
Thanks, Bill. And I think Melanie knows what I'm going to talk about, because ever since we've been talking about this, I've been asking. Obviously, different jurisdictions around the basin have contributed over time to different solutions on various issues in the basin. And certainly in transportation, bike trails, sidewalks, transit mobility hubs, and transit services, Placer County has been investing a huge, and our local special districts have been investing quite a bit for a long time. And when I look at the project list, my concern is making sure that where we've already contributed money and accomplished those goals, or where, and maybe not even going back to the past, I guess I'm looking at, just yesterday we approved another $1 million for MicroMass Transit through the winter with continued service to Squaw and to North Star. So I want to make sure that that's credited, because we are struggling. We have not seen yet one new project in the Tahoe Basin. In the North Shore. And so we want to make sure we can credit what we're investing in regional sources to our transportation problems and reduction of VMT toward these requirements on individual development. And Melanie, I think you also know the county is looking at mitigation fees and impact fees, VMT impact fees. So people would be paying double. So I'm saying this both to our county staff as well as to TRPA. Can we find a way to accept those contributions in lieu of these mitigation fees or establish a bank as a jurisdiction to encourage those regional solutions?
Thank you for that comment, and it is definitely something that I recall you bringing up during project impact assessment, development, and development of the recommendation before the committee today. So the project impact assessment and the code changes associated with that do reflect recognition of VMT credit programs that a jurisdiction like Placer County may have in place, and that is something that the fee would recognize as those credits are applied to project impact and the VMT reductions occur. Those would carry forward into a reduced fee rate. So I do think that we have recognized the potential for this to happen. And I think it carries forward through the fee program recommendation as well.
Great. I believe that transportation is really more regional in nature. Our solutions are going to be broader than project by project anyway. And so if we can find alternative sources versus new development fees, that's, you know, I think going to get us to solving the problem more quickly anyway than waiting for new development at the pace it's going right now. So thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. I think that's a really good point, Melanie. I know that in the white paper, you compared, for example, what Placer County is doing with their fees and other things to make sure that our fee is going to be in somewhat alignment, even though it's apples, not apples to apples, but it's more apples to oranges situation. But I think that's a good point. There are things that we are trying to do that the applicant, especially in a county like Placer, where they're doing this thing, maybe can take advantage of what the county has done to reduce that fee. And I don't know how we could highlight that in the discussion that would come back to us to show how the code would give staff that flexibility so that it doesn't come back to the board every time for like, oh, wait a minute, why should we pay for this when the Placer County's done this? That would be very useful to have. John, you were next in line. John Friedrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks for the presentation. Melanie, I have a quick question and then a related comment or suggestion. So the first question is, how is the VMT impact for affordable or workforce housing analyzed or calculated if it was vis-a-vis market rate units?
So, John, I believe your question is how we calculate VMT for affordable or workforce. Is that correct?
Yeah, given that, my understanding is that it's the same proposed mitigation fee for affordable or workforce versus market rate, right?
Correct. We just have one fee rate, and it would be applied the same market rate in affordable. But I wanted to clarify because the project impact assessment process recognizes that affordable, moderate, and achievable housing occupants produce less or generate less VMT than market rate units. And so the calculation is adjusted at the impact assessment phase, which means a market rate unit would, let's say a 10 unit market rate unit would be calculated a VMT, and the affordable, moderate, or achievable 10 unit equivalent would actually be calculated to have less VMT. About a 10% less VMT. Now that would carry forward into the fee, and that the fee would be less because it is calculated to have generated less VMT, but they would use the same fee rate.
Yeah. I definitely have a concern about the fee on affordable and workforce housing, as you referenced in your report. I mean, we're in such a crisis moment, and I participate in the Tahoe living working group, and I know there are other items in front of this one, commodity fees, et cetera. My concern is that this be a long lag time before this is addressed, and my sense is that the working group would strongly support eliminating or greatly reducing these fees. California, for example, has waived mitigation fees for affordable and workforce housing with SB 743. So my desire would be to look at a recommendation to waive fees for affordable and workforce housing and see what the rate impact would be on market rate units if we eliminated the fees on workforce or affordable housing so that we just reduce that additional barrier. It's already so expensive to build these units. And I'm wondering what that cost shift would entail for others, whether it's from increased fees on market rate or other sources of funding or what have you to fill in that gap. So I welcome discussion on this with the rest of my committee members and get a sense of that. But that'd be my strong inclination.
Melanie, I don't know if you want to respond to that. John's raised a good point. I share his concern. And the lag time with the task force could be an issue. Any other colleagues want to embrace it? Because this could be an issue that we would send back to staff to come back to us with how they would change the code if we want to go with the direction that John wants to go, which I would assume what John you're suggesting is that rather than keep the fee on the workforce and affordable housing issue, what you would you take the fee off and let the housing and task force determine how to deal with that issue so that we would start out with a mobility fee that had no fee on affordable housing, but the housing task force could then decide where the balance is between market rate and housing. Is that a fair statement of where you're coming from?
That could be one approach, or just bring back a proposal in December that reallocates the forecast revenues from affordable and workforce housing to other buckets.
Okay. Well, let's, any other comments? Because that really is kind of the guidance I think staff really kind of needs as they move forward with this, as to how they want to address this particular issue. So any other comments from my colleagues?
Yeah, Bill, I have a comment.
Sure, Shelley.
Yesterday I met with Melanie and other members of staff to go over the white paper. And it's kind of a slippery slope. I mean, workforce housing, those folks, unless there's a built-in incentive to use regional transportation, are going to be making probably more trips than the owner of a single family home that uses it periodically for recreational purposes. So while I'm sympathetic with the need for workforce housing, I always have been, and I think we need to be a little bit careful about shifting the full burden onto other forms of residential uses. One of the things I suggested is once this is adopted is perhaps to have the waiver be temporary in nature, as an incentive for affordable housing developers to move forward with their projects expeditiously, realizing that maybe at the end of 4 years, there's going to be a fee imposed upon workforce housing, and perhaps that will kind of incentivize them, to move forward more quickly with their development projects. And based on my conversation yesterday with staff, they did emphasize the fact that there are other offset opportunities existing in the current code to perhaps mitigate some of the financial impact of these fees. And, Melanie, it might not be a bad idea to bring some of those forward so we have a better understanding of what the menu of options looks like. Because I know that you've been reaching out to the development community and so far you haven't gotten a lot of pushback, but I don't think the reality has necessarily settled in. So anyway, Mr. Chairman, those are my comments.
Thank you, Shelley. Anyone else?
Yeah, I had just a couple. I agree with John in trying to create this flexibility. Obviously, we're all struggling with workforce housing. And to Shelley's point, we are offsetting, hopefully, employees that are now driving further to come to work and still running those trips within the basin. And so hopefully we're going to see a net gain by moving housing closer to their job sites. But in addition to that, I wanted to mention that one of the projects we worked on here in Placer County out in the Martis Valley did secure tax credit financing from the state to acquire and run shuttle buses into the town of Truckee from out by the Truckee Airport. So I don't want to discourage developers for being creative and securing state resources to help solve our transportation problems by completely waiving it either. So I want to learn more about how he secured that funding and encourage other developers to look at the mobility aspects that they can also secure from the state funding, if that makes sense to everybody.
Yeah, and one more item, Bill, if I may.
Sure.
We also talked about to be equitable about this, the impact that some of these trail projects will have on creating new VMT. I'm not talking about bicycle paths necessarily in general, but for example, the East Shore Trail is a big attractor, and people are parking in remote parking lots and using that trail pretty heavily. So I need, you know, staff promise to analyze those impacts, because I think we need to be fair. Some of these publicly funded projects, I mean, they're being publicly funded, but they are going to have an impact, perhaps a negative impact in terms of increased VMT generation. So I think we need to factor that into the equation.
Thank you. I agree. Mark, you have any comments about this particular issue?
I think that a lot's been covered. I agree with Shelley that there should be incentives to get workforce development, workforce housing up and going, Shelley and Cindy, you know, there haven't been many, especially in many of the areas around the lake, and that there should be some good incentive ideas with respect to this. But I also understand the value of creating the workforce housing, because that's really going to lower our VMT for purposes of trips. So yeah, it's a fine line and it's difficult. And I'd like to see what staff might come back with respect to some of the comments that were made today.
Thank you. Yeah, staff, I wonder if we ought to just, what did we do on the one in the city, the one recently we approved at the just beyond the Y,
Sugar Pines.
Sierra Pines. Because I think we waived a lot of things there to address that particular issue. So I don't know, but I think you get the sense of for the group that there we maybe need to look at not punt everything to the task force to see if there are some things that we do here to address the workforce housing issue, or at least point out all the possibilities that in reviewing an affordable housing project, we would take into consideration all of these things to make sure that the fees didn't get in the way, whatever. But obviously, it's an issue. And I understand what Shelley's saying is that if we don't, I mean, I appreciate what John's trying to do, but I think pushing it off onto the market rate is, we need housing. It may not be at the workforce level, but I think it would be a shame to put that burden on others. And I apologize. My phone is dead, but it goes through my stupid laptop. So apologize for that interruption. So any other comments from about staff's presentation? Seeing none, I think.
Quick comment.
Yeah, John, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you everyone for the discussion. This was good. And I just to put a fine point on it, you know, in bringing back a consideration of to fee or not to fee affordable in a workforce, just maybe a reference to relevant California, Nevada legislation such as SB 743 and, you know, alignment with those efforts, which again, in that case, eliminated VMT impact fees at the California state level. And of course, I guess it would, I mean, maybe it goes without saying, but just to see what would be the impact of cost shifting, whether it's to trip attractors like Shelley mentioned, or to market rate units, or, you know, and then are there other potential, you know, fill-in sources of funding to make up for affordable workforce mitigation fees that could be just added to the pot in a way that doesn't require a cost shift to those other uses. So anyway, I hope when it comes back, we can just see some of those considerations. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Mr. Chair, may I jump in? It's Julie Reagan.
You certainly may.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Julie Reagan, Acting Director for TRPA here. I just wanted to jump in to say this is exactly the conversation we were hoping to have with you all this morning, getting your different points of view. And I wanted to let you all know, you know, Melanie has done a really good job of looking at different jurisdictions and how they have handled this. We didn't get into a lot of detail in the presentation around that, but we've looked at places like even El Dorado County, Santa Monica, other jurisdictions that have wrestled with this very topic of how you handle affordable housing fees in terms of the VMT impact. So we'll bring you back a proposal. You know, we might want to do something that's flexible when we bring this back. We'll bring you some options, but we will be looking at this every, you know, every cycle of the regional transportation plan, you know, every 2 to 4 years. And this is a new fee. And so we're going to need some time to evaluate, you know, all of the numbers as they come in, and then we can assess. So we might want to allow some flexibility in the final analysis of where we subsidize or not. But we've heard you loud and clear as a policy directive. We want to support workforce and affordable housing in our community. And I think that's been very clear from the board for a number of years now. So we'll bring you something back. This helps inform, you know, our analysis in the next cut at this. So really just appreciate your thoughts.
Thank you, Julie. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Maria or Catherine, who's doing the public comment?
Mr. Chair, this is Maria. I'll take care of your public comment.
Thank you. I think I'll open it up for a public comment now. And you have 3 minutes, unless you're representing a group, and you have 5 minutes to make comment on this agenda item, mobility mitigation fee update.
Thank you. We do have some hands raised for public comment. First, Lou Feldman, you want to unmute yourself? You can address the committee.
Morning, Mr. Chair, committee members. Certainly appreciate Melanie and staff's hard work on this very complicated issue. It kind of makes my head hurt trying to understand all these numbers, but I am so pleased to hear you all express the very important message that affordable housing should not be further burdened with the mobility mitigation fee. The interim guidance didn't impose it, and these projects are struggling for life. Anything we can do to facilitate it, to me, is so critical. We have, as you know, businesses that, you know, can't staff because we don't have workers in the basin. And it's, you know, it's a ripple effect. So I thank you for that direction and support that 100%. I also agree with Shelley. You know, development is always the object of affection from regulators in terms of fees. And shifting additional cost onto the development community, which is basically a redevelopment community, which is basically enhancing environmental redevelopment, is, in my view, a disincentive to improve the built environment. And so I don't think piling on, so to speak, is productive. And the other thing that Shelley said that resonates with me, the elephant in the room in terms of impacts are the day trippers and recreational users. So, you know, anecdotally, we have all observed tremendous increases taxing our recreational facilities without any contribution from those folks for the impacts they create. And lastly, I would say that I agree with Cindy. So much of the solution is providing better alternatives, like increased transportation alternatives, microtransit, and it's heartening to hear that Placer has just committed $1 million to facilitate that kind of improvement. I hope it inspires some of our other local jurisdictions to step up, because that's what has to happen if we're going to move the needle. And I would be pleased to answer any questions and appreciate the opportunity. And lastly, I just, you know, have spent a lot of time with Melanie, and she's been great, and wanted you all to know she has made herself very available to the private sector. It's much appreciated. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, thank you, Lou.
Next, we have Gavin Feiger. You unmute. Go ahead and address the committee.
Yes, good morning, Chair and members and TRPA staff. For the record, Gavin Feiger, on behalf of the League to Save Lake Tahoe. Similarly to Lou, we'd really like to thank TRPA staff and Melanie in particular for continuing to work so closely with us following the BMT threshold update to finalize this fee update. The fee was an integral piece of the threshold update that we're excited to see coming close to finalization. We generally support the proposal presented today. The key aspects we identified through the BMT threshold update are included, which are the annual increases tied to inflation, which will be automatic, the location-based sliding rate based on BMT intensity. So those are two key pieces that we really need to see remain. And we appreciate the thorough analysis done by staff to back up this proposed fee. Going forward, the technical advisory body established with the BMT threshold hopefully will be able to include some kind of assessment of how effective the fee is, especially in relation to high VMT versus low VMT areas, and potentially, you know, some of these affordable housing considerations that we're talking about today. And considering that there's no project prioritization as part of this fee update, that same technical advisory body will be able to recommend projects from the RTP with the highest potential to reduce VMT. So making sure that this fee really goes to the projects that reduce the most VMT. And just, you know, finally, to Cindy and John's comments and the discussion around treating some regions or projects differently, really, as long as we're raising that $550 million identified and the incentive for developing in low VMT areas remain, we're fairly impartial on how this committee and eventually the board allocates the fee. Although, you know, supporting affordable housing, of course, is really important. So happy to see that discussion go forward. And really happy, as Julie said, to see the critical thinking on this important fee. It's going to be long lasting and make a big difference. So thank you.
Thank you, Gavin. I appreciate your comments about assessment. I think that's important.
Next, we have Chase Janvern. Do you want to go ahead and unmute yourself to address the committee?
Thank you. Good morning, committee members. I'm Chase Janvern, program manager for the Tahoe Prosperity Center, and I'm an active member of the TRPA Living Communities Housing Work Group. I'll start again by thanking you and TRPA staff for staying so focused on how to incorporate and address the housing crisis when we're looking at any type of fee. And, you know, I understand that while updating this ordinance hasn't been done in a long time and may be overdue, I really feel we must have a carve out for workforce housing. We have to acknowledge the desperate need for affordable housing given the current crisis in our community. And I'd like to encourage us to think as creatively as possible to find some way to match California State Law SB 743 that John's already mentioned, which exempts affordable housing from VMT impacts. It's clear that you know that we have a workforce housing crisis in Tahoe. We have for years. And one major contributing factor to the lack of workforce housing is that it's so much easier, cheaper, and profitable to build large single-family homes instead of multifamily, especially multifamily dedicated to affordable housing, deed restricted. So in order to combat this, I think we collectively as a region need to find ways to prioritize affordable housing over large new single-family housing that may only be used part-time. I believe every single development fee that exists should be on a sliding scale at minimum, and ideally provide full exceptions for fully deed-restricted units. Plus, of all the members of our community, it's those that will live in affordable housing that are the most likely to take transit, which is exactly what we're trying to get people to do. There has to be a way to achieve this. Bottom line is if we don't find ways to prioritize workforce housing, it's not going to get built. As one of the regional conveners on housing in Lake Tahoe, the Tahoe Prosperity Center strongly supports a fee exemption for deed-restricted affordable units, and I'm happy to work on this with the other members of the Living Community Work Group. Thank you for your time today, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, Chase. Appreciate your comments.
Next is Steve Teixeira. Go ahead, Steve.
Thank you, Maria. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, good morning. Steve Teixeira on behalf of a number of clients of Sustainable Community Advocates. I want to appreciate, as other speakers have, the comments and concerns expressed by the committee and what seems to be evolving as your direction to staff. We really agree with Supervisor Gustafson about the concern of double imposing fees based on what a local jurisdiction may do, and the comments by Councilmember Friedrich about the fees on affordable housing. Also, the comments of Ms. Aldean relative to the development community. I want to also echo the comments offered this morning by Mr. Feldman and Mr. Janvrin. In my view, this issue is clearly tied to the work on the sustainable regional transportation revenue issue, and I remain concerned that that works seems to be bogged down. Transportation is really all about funding, and it can't just come from new development or redevelopment. We know that. We need the active engagement, I believe, of the Bi-State Transportation Consultation Group. So, again, I think that appreciate, as others have, the work that Ms. Sloan has done on this and other members of staff. Melanie has made herself available to various stakeholders, including the development community. And, you know, we need to understand that the development community does have some concerns about this, and that the development community includes those who are in the business of developing affordable housing. So, again, I think what I hear you saying as a committee and direction to staff is something that that I could support and encourage you to do that so that more work could be done. And again, we're happy to jump in and continue to work on the issue with the various committees and the various staff efforts, including our involvement also with the Living Housing Working Group. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Mr. Chair, it looks like there are no further public comments for this item.
Thank you, Maria. And thank you for all four speakers for addressing the committee. This is an important, very important issue, and I'm glad that it got the kind of attention that from both the committee and the public as we move forward with this. So I've lost my cheat sheet because my stupid phone goes off, and so I have to kind of wing it here. So after the public comment, are there any other comments now from the committee members to follow up after you've heard from the four public commenters? I'll look at my chat. I don't see anything from you guys. So I think at this point, staff, I think you've got our concern about affordable housing. Cindy raised the issue, making sure that we don't double up here when the county is doing good things, that there's some way that we acknowledge the fact that that would be taken into consideration in applying a fee in Placer County for a project that's consistent and carrying out some of the things that Placer has done. Be very useful. And I don't know what else I've heard from us. I do agree with that. I appreciate, Melanie, all the work that you have done to meet with all the stakeholders. And I came through loud and clear in this hearing from the public members. So I think there are some further issues that we need brought to us, and maybe it's going to be a short turnaround, guys, because we have a quicker, we have a November meeting that comes up sooner because of Thanksgiving. So if you can kind of give us a heads up as to what you're thinking ahead of time so we have some ideas going in, that would be great. But we'd be ready to make a recommendation to the board. And also it probably helps Shelley out in operations committee if we have a sense of how the fee is going to go. So I think at this point, unless anyone else has any other comments to staff about committee guidance, I think we should move on to next item, which is committee member comments. Any committee member comments just in general on our PIC matters that you might have?
Bill, if I could, real quick.
Sure, Cindy.
I mentioned that we went ahead and approved the wintertime micromass transit, and I just thought it might be interesting to the committee to get a full report at some point on the results of that micromass transit. But just a few numbers for you. 34% of the people that took micromass transit had never taken our TART regional system previously. So a whole new set of riders to micromass transit, as we all know, that's what we anticipated, and growing that pool of people using alternative modes. So I think that's really important as we talk about these transportation solutions. But the other factor is that the cost per ride is higher than traditional transit because of that the specialty service and door-to-door service and not having as large of vehicles. So I think it would be interesting if the committee's interested or one of our committees are interested in hearing that presentation, really understanding the results from the summer service and where we're headed for the winter service and trying to make it a little more affordable. Our results are better than many areas of the country that are doing micromass transit, so that's good. Incline service area was much more cost effective, but it's a more compact area. The West Shore was the most expensive, but it's long and linear, and so there's a lot more travel time on that. But I think it'd be really interesting for the committee and for others and the public to hear that presentation because it really related to the Tahoe Basin services. And if you're interested, we can coordinate with staff to do that.
That would be great.
I'm interested.
I think that, Cindy, would be really interesting. I'm not sure this is RPIC's jurisdictional issue as much as maybe Jim Lawrence's committee, EIP and transportation. But certainly that would be the committee, if not also just to have a brief report from then the committee chair to the board about this, because I do think there's been a lot of discussion and attempts at microtransit, and I do think We put it into the event center approvals. Mm-hmm. The league has tried a little bit on the South Shore, and you had some success on the North, so that's great. Julie, I hope you're listening. That might be something that we should tee up for EIP TPO.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
Any other comments? I don't see any other hands raised or anything in the chat. So I think now we just go to the open public comment period. Maria?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let's take a look here and see if we have any final public comment. And we have no public comment.
All right. Thank you, Maria. So, colleagues, unless you have anything other that you're just dying to say to each other, I think that it's time to adjourn. I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
Motion, Bill, but I want to remind people that the TRPA Operations and Governance Committee will begin its meeting shortly at 10:30 on this same platform.
And so will Legal. Legal will be on Zoom, a different platform. and it will start at 10:30.
Okay, so you've heard from the two chairs. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye-bye. Bye.